worship team for leading us in a time of praise and worship to the honor and glory of God again. And I trust that God has met with you already this morning and through the songs and offering your time of praise and worship to Him. He speaks to our hearts. He is there. He is waiting. He is willing. And He wants to speak to us. And I told Karen this morning that if God could speak through a donkey, there's hope for me. So I hope this morning we'll be able to hear God's word. So I encourage you this morning as we look into God's word. It is my heart's desire that you will be able to connect with the word of God. Let me out of the picture. I enjoy preaching to this group of people, this fellowship here, because there is interaction. There's a receiving of the word. There's a hunger for the word, and I see it in your faces, and I experience that as I'm sharing here at the pulpit. I read a lot when I'm talking here, and you talk to me a lot, and I welcome that. I know I shared with you before that, you know, sometimes you say, "What you talking about, Willis?" And those expressions go across your face when there's things shared that are speaking back to me. And I appreciate that. It's good to be able to share with you. It's good to be able to be here this morning again and recognizing that there's snow out there, and it would have been nice probably to stay at home, prop your feet up and that kind of thing, but you took the opportunity to come out. Thank you for that. Today is a day that is set aside for the sanctity of human life, and I don't want to go on without acknowledging that this morning, but I do not have a sermon prepared around the sanctity of human life. You will find a flyer in your bulletin this morning to that extent, but I do want to thank you all for the seriousness and the honor which you give to the sanctity of human life here at New Covenant. It's seen in our children. There's children here, and there's no question that abortion is a black mark on our culture, on America today. Astonishing. And we believe here at New Covenant, according to Scripture, that life begins at conception, and there is no way that it is our freedom to take that life for any reason. So we do honor the sanctity of human life here today. Recognizing that God has gifted us with children, I enjoy the children. I appreciate what the children bring to the fellowship. And it shows in our attendance with the Sunday school that children come and are excited about that. So continue on giving honor to the Lord that way through that. So we're finished with the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning, as I looked at what God would have me to share this morning, I thought about the word that I gave you for 2024 was genuine. And as I thought about genuine, I was looking at scriptures, and I came across Matthew 16, 21 through 28, or 28, yeah. And you can turn there if you want to. That's where we'll be spending some time this morning. And actually not a lot of time, because I am actually going to focus on one word in verse 24, and possibly the next time I preach, I'll be looking at another word there in verse 24. But the title of the message this morning is Denying Self. Denying Self. And I know that all of us sitting here this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about the challenge of denying self. And if we're going to be genuine people, if we're going to be genuine followers of Jesus Christ, then we need to be people who, first of all, deny ourselves. You cannot follow Christ without denying self. There has to be a denying of self in order to be a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Eric talked about the fruits and how we will know people. We will know the false prophet by the fruits that they produce. We also know those that are filled with the Spirit of God is in us, by the fruits that we bear. There is there's a genuineness to a Christian, and it's fun to be around a genuine believer. It's fun to be around someone who genuinely is following Jesus Christ. and following God in their walk with Him. And so it's important to me this morning that my life reflects a life of being genuine. More than what I say, more than what I look like on the outside, there is a genuineness on the inside. It goes deep. It affects what I think. It affects how I act. It affects what I do. It's a genuine following Jesus Christ. Genuine. The definition is this: truly what something is said to be. Truly what something is said to be, or authentic is another word that can be used for genuine. And I ask the question this morning, are you a genuine follower of Jesus Christ as you say you are? As I say I am. I believe we identify ourselves as Christian. We identify ourselves as followers of Christ. And we want the world to know that we are followers of Christ. We don't hide that. We want to be bold about that. We want the world to know. And I ask, are we genuine? Are we really what we say we are? On a little lighter note, it's kind of like putting Ford parts on a Chevy pickup. It just doesn't work. It's not genuine, right? That's pretty lame, but for what it's worth, it's not genuine. You can use anything. Use any kind of illustration you can think of. When it is not exactly what it says it is, it's not genuine. If I am not exactly what I say that I am, I'm not genuine. And so if we're going to live a life that is a genuine faith, then we need to be all in. And that's where I will spend a little time talking about that as well, in that when we are denying ourselves, we are all in for Jesus. And I asked this morning, are you all in for Him? Have you given your all for Him? Somebody will come and they'll present something to you, an opportunity, or it might be a sport or whatever it is, and you say, yes, I'm all in. I'm all in. Count me in. Is that your cry? Is that your statement for your belief in Jesus Christ this morning? Are you all in? Give me a yay.
Yay.
All in. I'm all in for Jesus. And if we're going to be genuine followers of Jesus Christ, then we need to deny that self. And that's difficult. That's a challenge. We're living in a time of much compromise. And our actions need to reflect a life that is all in for God's kingdom. Let me say it again. We're living in a time that there's a lot of compromise. And we need to be people who are all in for Jesus, regardless of what it costs, regardless of what it is, what it does to me. Here's the thing. You might think you're fooling people, but there's one thing the world is able to identify better than anything else, I believe, and that is a fake. The world can identify a fake. After I got saved, I spent some time, I went into prison a number of times with Gospel Express, primarily down in Delaware. I was down in Alabama some. But I spent some time in the prisons, and it didn't take me long to recognize that those guys, those con artists, one thing they were able to identify really quickly was a fake. The world knows if you're real or not. Do you know it? Are you embracing it? Are you willing to stand up against the crowd for Jesus Christ, all in, giving it your all? And I want to establish this morning that this here denying self is not just inviting Christ into your life. It's not just inviting Christ into my workday, inviting Christ into my friendships, inviting Christ into my interactions. But this denying self is casting your complete self upon Jesus Christ. It's casting all of yourself on Him. It's not having Him be part of you. You become part of Him. You become one with Him. It's casting yourself on Him and relying completely on Him, that every breath that you take is His. Every heartbeat is His. You are all His. When you deny self, you let go what I want, what I believe is right for me, for me, for me. And I say, no, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's all about Christ. Colossians 1:6 says this, for by him were all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, invisible and invisible, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All things were created by him and for him. We get this idea that we're some kind of so special that everything was created about us. No, it wasn't. It was all created by him and for him. And when we become one with him, it's for us. Hallelujah. When we become one with him, when we deny ourselves and we yield ourselves to Jesus Christ, and then God is able to put his spirit in us, and then all these things are added unto us. It was for him and it was by him. It was even by him that we were able to be saved. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Either the power could be, that word could be changed for the right or the privilege. By his spirit, he gave power to become the sons of God. We didn't even do that on ourselves, on our own. It was through by his spirit. Salvation is this. When the gospel is heard, the spirit of God begins to move in your heart and you begin to see things like never before. Has this happened to you? Do you know what I'm talking about? When you become saved, salvation is this, that when you open the word of God and all of a sudden the Bible becomes alive, it becomes new. You see it like you didn't see it before. You see your relationships like you didn't see them before. You see everything through different eyes when you become saved and you deny yourself and then follow after him. Because it is true that he who began a good work in you is able to complete it. He is able to complete it. The one that started it in you, he's able to complete it. How do you know that you're truly a disciple? John 8:31 says this, then said Jesus to those Jews who had believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word. And so the opposite of that is true as well. If you do not continue in his word, you're not his disciple. If you continue in his word, you're his disciple. If you don't, you're not. Read with me in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 28. And we'll take a look at this, not the whole, all the verses, but I want to set the stage for it. And starting in verse 21, it says, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And then Jesus says to him, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And as I said, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but looking here at what happened in the verses prior to this is where Peter confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, this was revealed to you. This was given to you. And blessed are you for saying this. And then we have him standing here just a little bit later, rebuking Jesus for what he was saying was going to happen, what his will was, where Peter was unwilling to accept and to deny himself, but thought there was a better way that this needed to be done. He pulled him aside and then rebuked him. And then Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Satan, because you don't know what the story is all about. And I wonder this morning, how many of us here, because we have not denied self, have been standing in the face of God and saying, God, this is not the way it should be. We're not that radical, right? But we do it by our actions. God gives us direction, and we're not willing to deny ourselves and follow him. Then we're saying that. We're saying, I have a better way. I have a better understanding. And we're saying it to him just by our actions. You see, God knows what's best for us. He always knows what's best for us. And if we're willing to deny ourselves and cast ourselves upon him, he will lead you into what is good and right. Is it always going to feel good? Are you always good? No, we'll get into that the next time, into the whole carrying the cross. But he knows what is right for you. Just a little bit of Louis. And for those of you that are new with us here this morning, Louis is the cat that we have in our house. I've used Louis as an illustration for sermons at times, and I thought Louis was a good illustration again for this morning, this whole denying self. Louis does not deny himself. He is a very selfish cat. Everything is about Louis. Louis wants to eat when he wants to eat. He wants to sleep when he wants to sleep. He wants to go out when he wants to go out. He wants to come in when he wants to come in. There is no denying self with Louis. He is a very selfish cat. He will stand at the door, kind of amusing. He'll stand there at the door looking up at the doorknob. He looks at you, looks up at the doorknob, looks at you until you walk over. And when you're getting close, he'll stand up and put his paws on the doorknob. And when you open the door up, he don't like being outside, and we know that, and it's not good for him to be outside right now. It's cold. It's very cold. So we will walk to the door, and we'll open the door up, and Louis will stand there looking outside, and after a while, he'll step outside, and he shakes his paws. It's cold. And so we shut the door, and it's not long until he's yelling at the door to come back in. We knew that it wasn't good for Louis to go outside. See what I'm saying? Louis don't understand that. We as God's children, we don't know what is best for us. God does. God does. And he will open the door for you when it's appropriate. He will close the door when it's not appropriate. And in order for that to work, we have to deny ourselves. This here ridiculous saying, follow your heart. Follow your heart. We've heard it said. It's ridiculous. Because the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. It will lead you astray. Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus Christ. Follow the Spirit of God in you. That's what you need to follow. And in order to follow that, you need to get rid of self. You need to deny self. You need to get rid of all those things that you feel like you have a right to. Because you can't be led by the Spirit until you let go of self. I think we need to come to the place as we think about denying ourselves. I'm just going to read to you quickly Psalms 139, 23, and 24, familiar scripture. It says this, David is looking at himself and he's saying, what's going on? Am I really right with God? And this is what he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And it occurred to me that if we are to be people that are denying ourselves, then the first thing that we need to do is take a look inside. Take a look at what is going on inside, because it is out of that that we move. It is out of that that we breathe. It is out of that that we function. It's by what is happening on the inside. So we need to take a look. If I'm going to deny self, I have to see self. If I'm going to deny self, I have to know self. And so we need to take a look inside. And so we're tempted to think that all that means is, well, I need to stop and am I have a checklist and am I doing good with this? Am I doing good with this? Am I doing good with this? Which is all fine. That's all good. Those are things that we probably should do. But as David said, he invited God into that picture. He wanted God to look at the inside of his heart. And I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to have the Spirit of, are you willing to have Almighty God come and look into your heart? Because that's what he's saying. Lord, search me. Search my heart. Know if there's any wicked way in me. Because if I'm going to deny myself, then I have to have God look at the self along with me. Not just looking at it by myself, but I need to look at it with God looking at it with me and understanding what he's seeing. And we understand what he's seeing by looking at his word, understanding his word, being absorbed in his word. It's the word of God. It is the written word of God. And we will understand it as we give ourselves to looking in to what it is. Questions we may need to ask ourselves. Where am I heading? Where's my life heading? What are my priorities? And have God stand alongside of you when you say that. What are my priorities? What is driving me? Where have I not given up self? And giving up self doesn't mean that you need to just live a boring, unhappy life. That's not giving up self. That's giving up self is just giving up that human desire to do different than what God wants you to do. Giving up self to allow the Spirit of God to reign in your heart is not, maybe you come to the place where the rich young ruler was. When Jesus met the rich young ruler, what was it that he said to him? He called out his possessions. Sell all that you have. That's what's standing between me and you. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. It was what was standing. As Jesus stood there by the rich young ruler, as God is standing here beside you, it may not be physical possessions that you're holding on to, but I ask you this morning, is there something from your past that you're possessing? Is there something from your past that you're holding on to? Is there something that you need to deny yourself and give it to the Lord? And give it to the Lord and let him make you a new and a clean, genuine follower of his. We can't until we let go of self. We can't do that until we let go of self. It was pointless for David to look inside without the anointing of God's presence with him. It was pointless. We can do that. There are things we can benefit from it, but it doesn't bring us to a clean and a new creature. John 16:13, it says, the Spirit of truth will guide you into truth. The Spirit of truth will guide you into truth. And the way for that to happen is there needs to be a giving up of self. There needs to be a letting go of self for that to happen. And when we do that, when we deny self, you can't look back anymore. Lot's wife, when they were leaving the city, the fire was raining on the city. They were told not to look back. Escape. She thought about the things and the possessions, and herself took over, and she turned and looked. Are you looking back? Are you looking forward? If anyone desires, there's a want to. And I know you this morning enough to know that that is your desire. You want to. And so in the words of Jesus, have you denied self and giving your all to him? See, Peter made one of the greatest mistakes of his life when he rebuked Jesus. Because Jesus knew what it was good for him. Jesus knew what he needed. I wonder how things would have turned out different when Peter was confronted at Jesus' trial, if this would have been different. But Jesus is saying, don't have to stop here. Because I believe that he was face to face with Peter when he said this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Maybe this morning you're at the same place that Peter was. You're trying to change God's mind. Maybe victory has gone out the window. You may be at a spiritual low. How often do you see Christians in a real place of victory? Because that's what God wants for us. He wants us to walk in a real place of victory. And in order to do that, we need to deny ourselves. The solution lies in what Jesus said. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Psalm 78, 38, 7 through 39. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh and a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. God is willing. God is willing. If we are willing to yield ourselves, if we are willing to give up self, he is willing and wanting to lead us and direct us. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Romans 12, 1, 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beautiful words. Beautiful words. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Letting go of self. Letting go of that self that gets in the way of what God wants to do. You know, we say, Lord, if you'll heal my sick child, then I'll commit. That don't work. That's not what God is asking for. Lord, if you fix my finances, I'll commit. It's not what he's calling for. Lord, if you will show yourself in a certain way, I'll commit. No. No. Denying self is this. Lord, I'll commit to you whether my child lives or dies. Lord, I will commit to you whether my finances work out or not. Lord, I will be committed to you whether or not you do what I ask you to do. I'm committed to you. I am all in for you. And I'm asking this morning, is that your position? Is that where you're at? Is that your statement of belief in Jesus Christ? Is that I'm all in, I'm genuine, and I want to follow him with all my might? In order to do that, the first thing we need to do is deny self. And I will admit to you, there are too many times that myself gets in the way. I'm 60 years old. I was hoping by this time it wouldn't be a problem anymore, right? It's a lifetime of learning. So there is hope. There is hope. If you have been hanging on, holding tightly with your fingers clenched around whatever it is, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. God wants you to deny yourself, because you will either deny him or you'll deny yourself. You will either deny yourself or you will deny him. You can't do both. You can't do both. And if any man will follow me, John 6:63 through 66, it says this in closing. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father. I talked about that earlier. In verse 66, very sobering verse. I've shared it at communion. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Couldn't give up self. The rich young ruler, why? Could not give up self. So my question this morning, are you denying self? Are you all in? Are you casting yourself upon Jesus? Is your every breath dependent upon him? Or have you somehow adopted what I'm able to do in my own strength, in my own might? Are you following him, walking with him? Are you truly dedicated and committed to a life with him? Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the ability we have to look into scriptures and know more about what it means to deny self, to let go of self, and to honor you. Lord, I pray that in the areas that we are weak in this, Lord, that you would strengthen us. Father, by your spirit, may we be a living, shining testimony to a world that is able to spot a fake. Father, may we be genuine to the people that we work with, to the people that we live with. Father, I pray for a protection on our families. Pray for a protection on our homes and this culture that we live in. God, I pray that you would continue to pour out your spirit of anointing on the fathers of the homes that are represented here. I pray that you would continue to pour out your spirit of anointing on the mothers of the homes that are represented here. For the children, for all that are involved in a home, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that there would be an opening of our hearts to be genuine, to be real with each other. Father, that you would receive the honor and glory. Father, I pray for a protection on the church. Lord, that again, that your spirit would continue to move among us, Lord, to show us, to lead us, to guide us and direct us into all truth. We believe that. We receive that this morning, that it's your heart's desire to do that. I pray that you protect our words, protect our thoughts, and protect our hearts, Lord. As we give ourselves, as we yield ourselves to you, as we deny self, and make you the center of everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the chorister to lead us in song.